Hi there. Real quick before we jump into the episode, if you enjoy this episode or any of the other episodes, be sure to give us a follow or subscribe. It would also be great if you shared it with a friend or better yet, left a review so others can know how awesome it is. Thanks so much. And now, the episode.
Hey there, Press Starters, and welcome to the Press Start Leadership Podcast, the podcast about game-changing leadership, teaching you how to get the most out of your product and development team and become the leader you were meant to be. Leadership coaching and training for the international game industry professional. Now, let me introduce you to your host, the man, the myth, the legend, Christopher Mifsud.
On this week's special edition, we have the grandmaster of protagonist coaching and consulting, leadership geek, and a guy who just wants people to enjoy life, Adam Kobler. Let's meet Adam Kobler.
Hey, everyone. Hey, glad to be here.
Yeah, glad to have you here. So, Adam, I like to start off every conversation with the origin story. So, what's your origin story?
What is my origin story? You know, that's a good question and one that I should spend some more time ruminating on. It's I've been all over the place, professionally, personally. I've lived in, I don't know, six or seven different states in the U.S., lived in Russia for a short period of time as well. But for me, it's just been kind of this constant journey of self-discovery over the last 10 years of my life or so, and really figuring out that we're all here and we all work best when there's a certain amount of harmony and understanding. And that's, lo and behold, the things that I like to help facilitate. And that kind of came out of an instance earlier, right around when I graduated college, actually, where I started to really delve into self-discovery, a lot of self-improvement stuff, self-help, as some people might call it. Read a lot of books, did a lot of kind of not up in the mountains meditation, but just meditation in general, and really learned a lot about myself and about how I see the world and how I want to see the world. And since then, it's been the windy path and the path of decisions to get here and being that grandmaster.
Very, very cool. And I think most of our listeners here will actually read, right? That's a big part of you and your current mission, what you're doing.
Yeah. So for my part, my goal, as you kind of mentioned in the intro, is just to help people enjoy their lives more. And that's really from a leadership perspective. So I try and provide that example. I try and help other people figure out the example that they want to provide in whatever leadership capacity they happen to be in, so that they can not only enjoy their own lives and professional careers, but also help others that they may be responsible for enjoy it.
That's awesome. Yeah, definitely can't beat that. So as a leadership coach, and a big focus of what you do and a big focus of what we discuss here, I always like to ask, how do you define good leadership?
This is becoming my mantra as of late, and it's two sentences. Leadership is the example. Management is the tactics. And I've got, if you look at my logo on my website, it's crossed swords with a kind of a red circle holding them together. I really look at leadership from three different facets: trust, communication, and systems. If one of those three is out of whack, chances are it's dragging the other two down with it. And so I help people figure out where they are with those three kind of overarching concepts. There's obviously a lot of subsets and subtopics to those. But help them figure out where they are on those planes and then what they can do and when and how they should do it to get those things into better balance to help things flow better.
I can't disagree with those three. I think those are awesome. So important question, favorite donut.
Ooh, you know, if you ever come to the US, I need to take you to a local donut shop here in Minneapolis. They have all sorts of, all of their specials that I've ever tried are fantastic, but my favorite of all of them is called the North Star Roll. And now, for those of you who are not familiar, Minnesota is known as the North Star State in the U.S. Just lots of northern, like, backwoods lore around that, things to that effect. But the North Star Roll is essentially a caramel roll, light on the caramel, with kind of a vanilla hazelnut frosting on top, with crumbled walnuts, I believe, and a caramel drizzle over the top. It is amazing.
It sounds amazing. It sounds more than amazing. I'll definitely have to check that out next time I'm back in the States.
Yeah. Happy to take you out for that if it's in season when you're here.
Oh, I'll find a way. So, so I talk about mindfulness. Mindfulness is another big thing for me. You mentioned it a little bit earlier, meditation and stuff. But mm-hmm. So what's your Zen? How do you find mindfulness? How do you find peace? Especially, you know, this has been a crazy year for a lot of people. A lot of people have been having some difficulties, you know, finding that kind of peace. So, what's your mm-hmm. secret?
My secret is really in the systems. I apply those three facets very much to my personal life as well, in that I have a handful of little practices that I do most days out of the week that help me stay grounded and centered and stay in that Zen more often than not. The big piece of that is I start out each day with 20 minutes of meditation. And that can be either just sitting and focusing on my breathing. It can be guided meditation. It can be mantras. It doesn't matter what kind of meditation it is, but just that I'm creating and enjoying that headspace first thing in the morning after, of course, a glass of water. The next thing is I endeavor to make time to go on daily walks for usually in the neighborhood about a half hour right after lunch. And I find that that's a good way to break up the day. Again, kind of help myself refocus and reorganize my thoughts based on how the morning has gone, and then start fresh after I get back to my desk to be able to continue on with the activities of the day late into the night.
Now, your day sounds a lot like my day, actually. So that's awesome. Yeah, I totally agree. Starting the morning off with meditation, whatever the type might be, is a great way to start it, especially with some positive mantras, because you start that day positively, kind of carries you through the rest. And definitely agree, especially with so many people working from home, if you have the ability to go out and take a walk in the middle of the day to break up the routine and then kind of come back fresh, definitely, I think keeps your energy going through it. So yeah, both awesome ways to go about it.
Yeah, and if I could expand on that real quick, I actually stumbled upon that practice when I was working for a software company a few years ago in downtown Minneapolis. I had moved downtown after getting that job to be closer to work because nobody likes commuting into the city center of any metro area that I'm aware of anyways. And so my apartment ended up being, I don't know, it was 4 or 5 blocks from the office. And once I had settled in, I realized, hey, I could walk home for lunch. And after doing that for a week or two, it started to click that, you know, I'm really enjoying this. You know, it was probably a little bit less than a mile round trip over the lunch hour and just, you know, even in the dead of winter, getting some fresh air, getting out of the office environment and just changing things up a little bit in the middle of the day made such a big difference.
No, that, I mean, it makes sense. It makes sense. And I agree with you. Just a side tangent. Ever since I learned that I could live closer to work and that it cut down on my commute and basically, in a sense, cut down on my work day, right? Like, I would count the commute as like part of my commute, my work day, right?
Absolutely.
My last two jobs have literally been 5 minutes away from the office, which is both bad and good, because once they learn that you're super close to the office, that also means that they're more inclined to call you in and be like, hey, can you do this thing? And you're like, because you're only 5 minutes away. But working from home, I guess everyone's now like literally minutes away from rolling out of bed and rolling over to their computer and taking on their work day. So, mm-hmm.
For better or worse.
For better or worse, yes.
And that's where that discipline comes in.
Yeah, of course. Of course. No. Favorite systems. You were talking about systems. Mm-hmm. Do you have a favorite, I know you play video games. You do those. I think you dabble in tabletop a little bit. So do you have a favorite video game system? You know, are you a PC master? Sony, PlayStation, Xbox. This always gets a little or Nintendo. I don't know why I always forget that, but Nintendo is a valid life choice when it comes to systems.
It's true. So, Nintendo seems to be the frequent underdog. Yeah. For me, I'm definitely, I wouldn't say like PC master race, but PC is my platform of choice. You know, I'm open to all platforms. I just don't necessarily want to pay for them all the time. Case in point, there are a growing number of titles for the PS5 that I would love to pick up. And I think if one more gets tacked onto that list, I may have to actually buy the console to be able to play them because they're exclusives.
That's the only, I won't lie. So I'm an Xbox guy mainly just because I move around the world a lot. So it's not as convenient to move a really good PC like rig. So I have like a very simple PC that I use for work, but my Xbox comes with me everywhere I go. But as much as I love my Xbox, I usually do end up picking up a PlayStation at some point in time to play the exclusive. So I totally get but I prefer Xbox. So that's just me. And occasionally if I decide I want to throw out some more money, I'll pick up the latest Nintendo console as well. Right. So, and that keeps getting, this, I have to say, this version or this console era for Nintendo is pretty good, actually. They've got a lot of good stuff, fun stuff.
My brother-in-law just got a Switch for his family, and they're absolutely loving it. Yeah. I'm still rocking the old Wii U technology, but it's still good.
Yeah,
it's still good.
100%. Favorite game?
Ooh, easy. Souls series.
Oh, you're a master.
Dark Souls. Oh. 1, 2, and 3.
Tell me why. Wait, like, give me some reasons why this. This is definitely not the series for me, but I love to hear the people who do love it, because the people who do love it, love it.
Mm-hmm.
So why is that?
It took me a while to warm up to them, quite frankly. But it was one of those things. I'm a huge lover of fantasy in general. If you give me the choice between fantasy and sci-fi, I do like both, but I will take fantasy every single time. And so when Dark Souls came about, when was that? 2008 or something like that? It's early 2000s. I saw that on the Steam store and I went, well, this sounds interesting. And this was before everybody had touted it as one of the hardest games known to man. And so I was like, all right, another fantasy game. Seems like could be interesting. And I picked it up and set it down, picked it up and set it down. Something in me really wanted to like it, but just because of how brutal a game it is, it took me a while to get into the groove, to learn that it's not your typical flavor of game. You have to be a lot more tactical. You have to be a lot more mindful of the mechanics and the little quirks that the game has so that you can play it well.
Yeah, I never did get good on that game. But I have a lot of friends that are super passionate about it. And I understand it does have a very nice and rich like background and story going along with it too. So it's not just
a brutal
mechanic game, but it actually like solid storyline go along with it. So
yeah, and that's another thing is they don't spoon feed you the story. You have to figure it out for yourself. And that's why so many people keep playing it over and over and over. Because it's like, all right, I feel like I'm missing this detail. Where is it hidden in the world? You know, is it hidden in the description for a weapon somewhere, let's say.
Okay.
You know, there's a lot of bits and pieces. If you read the item and weapon descriptions, you actually pick up a lot more of the lore than interacting with the rare NPCs throughout the world.
Maybe someday if I get through my backlog of games that don't make me cry. I'll put that one back on my list.
Fun fact, I'll have you know, I actually just beat Dark Souls 1 for the first time.
Oh, okay.
After 10 years of playing it.
Well, there's still hope for me then. That's what I'll consider that then.
Absolutely.
So tell me, like, what are you working on right now? Like, I know you have the business, so tell me a little bit more about the business, what you're doing there. Like, I got your philosophy. I understand, you know, we very sink in very well with the leadership and the beliefs in communication mm-hmm. and the mindfulness. How are you applying? What are you doing these days with that?
So these days I'm doing a couple different approaches. Right now I am going to be spending a lot of time once I get off my the tail end of my hiatus here. I'll be getting back on Twitch to do my leadership lessons streams twice a week. And I'm also looking to tack on some just chatting streams as well, where it will be more like live masterminds with those who want to participate in the chat to discuss a specific topic or a specific, I'm thinking of picking some quotes or books, or haven't really decided fully on the material yet, but just having some discussion around leadership in the technology industry and helping those people who are interested in that or who are involved in that to hone their skills several times a week through Twitch.
That's sweet. The first part, the one that we're currently doing, can you give us a little bit more detail what someone who tunes into Twitch and checks you out for those segments, what are those like for those that the followers that are tuning in or the would-be watchers?
Sure. So I started doing these with Final Fantasy 14, and what I would do is I would just play the game, and as I went about different quests and different things, accomplishing objectives within the game, I would take a look at the various leadership elements that were involved and expound upon those based on my philosophies, my experiences, and my perspectives. And so from time to time, this would mean talking about a quest giver and the type of, say, communication that they used, you know, the words that they used, the tone of voice, the urgency, and talked about ways that those were good or not and why in a real world business environment. And I would then expound upon that and say, all right, well, as somebody who is carrying out these tasks and objectives for so-and-so, these are the things that I'm thinking about as from a leadership perspective and why those are important. I actually started Final Fantasy 15, which is actually my first playthrough of that. And we have Mariachi Noctis, who gets to wear the mariachi outfit until he starts becoming a good leader.
I was checking out your Twitch stream the other day, and I saw that you just were starting that up. So that looks awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a great game. I'm looking forward to playing more of it.
Nice. Yeah, very cool. You do a lot. So let's cover some mm-hmm. more of the things you do. So you do Twitch.
Yep.
You blog as correct, as well? Like your website, also you do blog posts. I believe you also do a podcast as well.
So let's yeah,
let's hear about some more things. If people are like, man, I like this Adam Kobler. What else can I learn about from him? Let's hear it.
Sure. So there's a plethora of outlets for getting the things that are on my head into media, be it written, be it vocal, be it video. I'm actually working to simplify those a little bit because, as a lot of us know, content creation can very quickly become a full-time job. And I want to get this stuff out there, but I don't want to spend hours on the editing board. So stay tuned for what those changes are. But presently, I do have a podcast that I do with a cohort of mine called Leadership Legion. You can find that on Spotify right now. That'll be available on other platforms in the future. But essentially, what we do is every other week, we get together for, it's usually about 90 minutes, and we talk about examples of leadership provided by a character from geek culture. So folks like Jean-Luc Picard, Aragorn, we even did one on Dr. Robotnik from the new Sonic movie. Any character is game, really, as long as it's from some sort of show or movie that we can digest in a reasonable amount of time. And so that's been a lot of fun, really good ways to look at leadership through the fun lens of fiction. Mm-hmm. And above and beyond that, yes, there is a blog. I do still contribute to that regularly. But I'm also looking to do some more kind of off the cuff, just 10 minute video clips that may end up on the blog as vlogs. Mm-hmm. Since everybody's going video these days, and there's definitely a lot more that you can do with those that you can't in written form.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. I'm just going to circle back to the podcast with the heroes and villains, sort of, I guess.
Yeah.
Who's been your favorite to dissect leadership wise and why? What was the exciting learning that you pulled away from that? You don't have to give all the details. Obviously, would leave some people, you know, wanting to know more on their own. But
so my favorite hero of all time is Tony Stark, Iron Man himself. And if you want to hear the full spiel, he was our second episode of the show. So we're still kind of dialing in the technical aspects in terms of getting like the recording stuff right, but the work there and the discussion there is very solid. So the big takeaway from that is just emotional intelligence. Tony Stark doesn't start out as having a whole lot of that. And we go into detail about, you know, the goods and bads and uglies about that, and give some examples from the Iron Man trilogy and how that affects the people that are involved in those scenarios. So definitely recommend checking out that episode. That's certainly my favorite so far. All right. Dr. Robotnik comes in a close second, though.
Okay, fair. Well, yeah, I like that, because it basically what you're saying in that is EQ can be learned and developed, right? Which is true. And I think a lot of people lose sight of that. A lot of people focus on IQ, which doesn't really change too much throughout your life. Mm-hmm. But EQ is something that is not only like 100% teachable and growable and influenceable.
It works.
Yeah.
We'll run with it.
Whatever. But it's definitely one of the most important things that you find in leadership, and companies are looking for more and more of that now too. I've had a couple companies before I took roles, they tested my personality and IQ and for leadership roles, and I think it's awesome. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I love being told that I'm really smart and have a great personality.
It does feel good, doesn't it?
It feels great. I print them out and I put them on my refrigerator just to remind, you know, my wife.
She married which I'm sure really, she appreciates.
No, she loves. Yeah, great personality and and super smart. But
speaking of EQ, right? Yeah, and that's, you know, to take that one step further before we move on is any of those leadership skills that we're talking about can be learned and improved by anybody. I don't care who you are. You know, if you've come from a service industry background, working retail, never had a formal day of leadership training in your life, go pick up some books. You know, LinkedIn Learning, there's all sorts of free stuff online that you can use to get started, to further the skills that you have. There is no such thing that I've found so far. I don't know about you, Chris, but that is unlearnable as far as leadership goes.
As far as, no, there's nothing that's unlearnable. There are only those who don't wish to learn. I think that's that's the only thing. The only thing that limits people is it's their attitude about leadership, right? And then honestly, if they don't want to learn it, they're probably not the best people to be leaders in the first place, right?
Yeah. Like,
you know, I think that's one of the key pieces to a leader is they're constantly learning, right? They never stop learning, never stop picking up, always feel that they can improve and be better, right? Self-improvement is a journey, you know, that continues on and on and on. So that's that. But I agree with you. I think everything is teachable. There are people that have natural abilities that I think, and it, again, I won't say it's like you're born this way, but nurture definitely led them that direction, right? Like, so, you know, there's certain people that have better soft skills than others naturally, but learning them, perfectly possible. Soft skills are definitely, but I actually heard this was the other day that they didn't like the word, I think it was Simon Sinek, because he says everything, but he didn't like the term soft skills. He liked the term human skills. Because when you say hard skills versus soft skills, it's kind of saying like one's the thing. But human skills, everyone needs to know them, right? It
Absolutely.
Really doesn't matter. And
for sure,
all of us can improve human skills. So I definitely feel that, especially as a leader being a human being. I say that a lot in the stuff that I talk about is it's the things that I teach not only make you a better leader, they make you a better human being. And I think at the end of the day, that's the most important thing. Be better human.
Yeah. So let me throw out my own quote here to put a bow on that. This one's by Genki Sudo, who is, gosh, the man's a prodigy. His quote is, "We are all one." And I think that human skills really reflects that well.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. Yeah. We are all one. I love it. That one's good too. Mm-hmm. Very, very good. So we've got Twitch, got the podcast, we've got the blog, that there's blog content, new content coming to the future. Mm-hmm. Anything else you'd like to talk about that you might have up your sleeve going forward, working? You know,
I am working on some online coursework. That's probably not going to be available until later this summer, but that is in the works. Just
something to keep their eyes out for, you know.
Exactly. And other than that, you may find me at me and my podcasting cohort at the occasional con. We're actually doing a panel on, we're essentially doing a live podcast at an anime convention coming up here next month. For those who are interested, that's Centerpoint Anime Convention.
Okay.
So it's free.
Oh, it is virtual. Okay. Mm-hmm. Cause I was like, I know there's some in-person ones that are planned for later on the year. I was going to say next month, I was like, that's really fast. I know America's those vaccines super quick, but man, I didn't think we were going to that fast, but
yeah, it's a virtual con.
Okay,
so.
Cool. Good.
I'm not
playing it safe. That should be.
Yeah. And you know, in the spirit of setting the example, I have set a resolution for myself that I'm not leaving the house or traveling for any unnecessary reasons for the rest of the year.
That's just probably wise. Yeah. I mean, if you don't have to and you can didn't do it, I know not everyone has that ability, but if you have the ability and you can, there's some wisdom there. Yeah.
Yeah. Very I'm one of those.
Example to set.
Yeah. I'm one of those eyes on the MBTI scale where I'm right about at the 50% mark, so I can go either way.
Gotcha. No, I understand. Depending on when I take the test, I flip between I and E as well, actually. Mm-hmm. Everyone always thinks it's extrovert, but occasionally introvert. Yeah. There's that fun thing about introverts. It's like if you get them talking about a subject that they're really interested in, they actually can appear like an extrovert because they become very animated and super excited about it, but then they need the recharge like immediately after. So
that's me.
Yeah. That's me too. So you touch on technology, you're a leadership coach. If one of the listeners out there or watchers, depending on how you're checking this out, is a young technologist that has an aspirations for leadership, what would what are some recommendations for them that you can give besides listening to this awesome podcast?
Yeah, no kidding. And the other things we've already talked about. There's obviously the recommendation, small self plug here to get a coach, whether it's me, whether it's Christopher, whether it's somebody else, find somebody you trust that you can learn from and who is going to help you progress in some way, shape, or form that you know that you can learn to know, like, and trust. As far as leadership goes, I feel like mentorship is one of the biggest things that I've ever experienced and taken part of that helped truly accelerate my leadership skills. And that's, that's the whole reason what I'm trying to do with Protagonist is be that trusted, liked mentor to help people succeed.
I've not disagreed with anything that Adam said so far. And yet again, I am in agreement. Once again, I actually was saying the other day, three quick ways to level up as a leader, like take online classes, watch some YouTube videos, find a mentor. Mm-hmm. And, like Adam said, reach out to a coach or whatever, if you have the ability to do it that way. Or there are so many people, get a LinkedIn account if you don't already have one of those. That's what I would say. Get a LinkedIn account, reach out, like network and reach out to people. Cause like I answer questions all the time. I get people all the time sending me emails and DMs and so forth. I'm more than happy to answer most questions for folks.
Yeah, likewise.
Yeah.
What it's obvious that I don't like talking about these things at all.
Exactly. What saddens me a little bit, though, is I feel like the follow-through on that afterwards, right? Or like they'll be like, oh, can I do it? And then when they get a response, mm-hmm. then it's like, I totally go do it. Chase after it. Most people aren't want to help other people. Honestly, I think most people inherently are good people out there and they want to help people. And I think almost anyone who's ever struggled in any industry appreciates, like you mentioned, the mentors that they've had and being able to, pay that forward to other people and be able to help them out. I mean, just, be respectful of people's time and everything like that. And I think, again, hire somebody and then, and you're paying for their time, so that works.
Yeah, then you're more likely to respect their time because you're invested.
You're invested in it, but yeah, exactly. And actually, hate to say it, but it does say a lot for a lot of things, right? Like if you put even just a little bit of money towards it, you're more likely to follow through on something, unless it's like a gym membership.
Right.
Actually, I know that one doesn't prove out, but most other things, like they find like I think Eventbrite and stuff like that, those events that normally would be free, right? But they'll charge like $5 or $1. That way their people are more likely to actually show up for the events and so forth. And it's kind of the same thing for anything you invest in. My parents would have liked that more when I was a child because I actually didn't do that. But
I think that's most of our childhood stories.
But that's on them too for not pushing me more to actually attend the things I signed up for. I signed up for everything, I think, when I was a kid, but I think I went once.
Well, and that's part of it is we are the product of our experiences.
Yeah. Any takeaways as we get towards the end here that you'd like to pass on to any of the listeners? Anything that you anything we missed that we didn't cover here that you'd like to say and be like, they go, oh, that's even more so, because I think there's been golden nuggets throughout here. But
yeah, we've had some good stuff here, I think. For me, you know, I'd just like to reiterate the mantra that I had at the beginning of leadership is the example, management is the tactics, and really impress that the example part is, in my mind, one of the most important parts of leadership. And the reason being for that is that as a leader, people are instinctually looking to you as the example. And I think a lot of leaders don't necessarily make that connection, especially if they're new to that type of position. And they wonder why their teams are doing, you know, things they don't want them to do, performing poorly, you name it. That is not necessarily desired when they themselves are showing all sorts of the similar traits that they're seeing in their team, but they're just not necessarily aware of it because it is a habit. It is, you know, part of that nurture cycle that has just become second nature to them. You know, it could be any number of reasons, but there's a certain amount of introspection that is involved on a regular basis to make sure that you are conveying the right example to the people you are either directly or indirectly affecting.
Mm-hmm. People are always watching. You don't realize it, but people are always watching. And we communicate so much in our actions, even more so than our words. So I agree with you 100% on that. I mean, you said it earlier, lead by example, which I wholeheartedly believe in. I also really think, you know, take it upon yourself to better the situation, right? And
absolutely.
And but the thing is that too many bad leaders, I mean, again, if you're doing anything bad, I don't really consider you a leader, but bad people in authority that have bad traits is that they do things that they don't want their team to do. And then they're shocked, like you said, like, oh, why is everybody late? Well, you're always late.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, or like, oh, why does that person keep doing that? Well, because you don't do anything to stop that. And you do that, right? Like, I've been in environments where I've seen bad behavior from leadership. Again, people of authority, not leaders. Mm-hmm. Who act a certain
leadership
way.
In name only.
In name only, right? Yeah. It's mm-hmm. that it's the other one that I like, which is, you know, leader leads without title, you know.
Yeah.
I like doing that. Things and then they have this behavior where it kind of like trickles down, right? It's that was a line from How I Met Your Mother. I think Barney gave it about the circle of hate or circle of yelling, where like one person yells and then they yell at the next person and it comes around like everyone passes around. So if you have people treating people badly or whatever, and people see that as acceptable behavior, and then they do it until as far as they can get away with it. And, you know, unless you're setting the right example for folks, right? Positivity. I show up on time. Do, you know, like don't delay on things. Take action. Make decisions.
Yeah. Keep your word.
Keep your word. Accept the results. Like, take responsibility for those actions, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you make excuses, other people make excuses. It's definitely a thing, you know, that's the
yeah, way. It's, and is a huge element of integrity to good leaders. Mm-hmm. You know, to add the flip side to the bad leaders we're alluding to here.
Yeah. It's always easy to pick out bad leadership. I, you know,
yeah.
We all have a million examples of that.
And another thing that I point out a lot to people is that you don't necessarily even need to have a leadership title. You know, you don't need to be a manager, a supervisor, a CEO, any kind of executive. You can be a leader at any level of the company, any level, by simply following those things that we just talked about and having integrity and setting your own example simply because you have decided that that's the correct way to operate.
Yeah. Anyone can be a leader. Really, really can. And you can, you can apply those skills tomorrow, you know. I think that's a probably a much longer discussion for another day.
We could have a whole other discussion on that semantics. Yeah.
So there's that. So let's follow through and tell everybody again where they can find you on all the different platforms in case they didn't have time to write down. Though you can always check the liner notes because there will be all that information there of all the places you can find Adam and what he's doing. But I'll have him tell it one more time for us.
All right. One more time with feeling. So the best place to find me and all of the things that I am associated with is my website. You can find links to everything from there. So to keep it simple, head on over to protagonist.life. That's right. You heard me, protagonist.life. Love these newer high-level domains these days. From there, you can find the blog. You can find links to my Twitch, the recordings of that on YouTube. There's also the links to the Leadership Legion podcast and everything else that we've touched on in this here discussion today.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, I've been super happy to have you here today.
Today, Junior.
That's right. And super, super glad that you were able to chat with us. Tell us a little bit more about what you've been doing. I met you a few months ago, and I've been loving everything that I've been finding from you. So I was happy that you were willing to come on here and share all that great stuff with everyone here. So thank you again.
Appreciate the opportunity, Chris, and I look forward to returning the favor sometime here in the near future.
Definitely. Look forward to it, too. All right. Well, that's it. All kinds of stuff at the end. That's all, folks. No, that's it for this week's episode of Press Start Leadership Podcast, Conversations with Christopher. Thanks for joining us. Bye.
Cheerio.
That's this week's episode of Press Start Leadership Podcast. As always, thanks for being awesome. And if you haven't yet, make sure to give us a follow. Till next time. If you haven't downloaded my free ebook, 5 Heroic Leadership Skills, click on the link in the description. Tune in next week for your next episode of Press Start Leadership Podcast. Thank you. Oh, hi there. The episode's over, but thanks for sticking around till the end. If you're on the quest to elevate your team's leadership, production, or game design capabilities, I'm here to assist. Leveraging extensive experience and a strategic approach, I offer personalized audits, bespoke workshops, and leadership retreat facilitation to drive your team toward excellence. My commitment is to provide efficient, reliable, and proven support, ensuring you have the tools and insights needed to thrive. Ready to unlock your team's full potential and achieve unparalleled success? Don't hesitate to press start on your journey to transformation today. Feel free to reach out directly to discuss how we can tailor a solution to meet your unique needs and goals. Let's connect and take your team's performance to the next level.